Our dear Heavenly Father, we worship you. You are the great and awesome God. And Lord, without you, we can do nothing. And so as we go into our service this morning, we come under the covering of spiritual fathers to come to submit ourselves afresh to you. I ask for fresh mercy and unction under the covering of our fathers so that, Lord, your word will come forth this morning with power, in clarity, in simplicity and purity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. And it will do an internal, eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, making our wills more submitted to your will, causing our minds to be further filled with revelation, insight from the Holy Spirit, and causing our emotions to be further subdued and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so that we'll be doers of the things that we learn and not hearers only, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, because as your word goes forth under covering, we are asking, Lord, that, Lord, you will remove every veil that is before our eyes. Let deaf ears be unstopped. Lord, let strength come to our feet and our ankle bones, helping us to come up hither, Lord, to where you are. And Lord, to bring, Lord, glory to you, Lord, by the fruit of the word in our lives, in the name of Jesus. I ask for mercy to help me to be concise and precise, so that I will redeem the time, not saying unnecessary things, Lord, speaking as a householder, Lord, scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word things new and old to the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a great pleasure and honor for me to bring the word of God this morning. And I thank my fathers, Pastor Luby and Mommy Sarah, for the great privilege and the trust that they have reposed in me to be able to bring the word. And I trust God that this word will bring them refreshing and bring them joy as they listen to it. And also for you, my brethren, that it will accomplish a building up in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're going straight into the word. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Really grateful. We're in the book of Galatians, and we have looked at the book. We finished chapter 1, and we're beginning chapter 2 today, and we saw over chapter 1 that the book was written by Apostle Paul to correct the error of legalism that was very predominant in the church of Galatia. Apostle Paul had started the church, and it was thriving and growing in faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, until certain brethren came in and started teaching the people wrong doctrine and telling them that you had to be justified by doing the law of Moses, which was what used to be, that God had changed, that said that it was now by faith, that it will be by grace, that everyone, it will be free for all men to be able to lay hold on the promise. So the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to correct that, and very strongly too, you know. And we've been looking at that and saying that, you know, God is also talking to us. It's not just a historical account. He's also talking to us today to make sure that we don't allow false doctrine into our lives, false teachings into our lives. And there's so much of that in the body of Christ. And the way to really understand and be protected from this teaching is by walking in revelation knowledge. And that was the point that we made. And so that's what we're going to look at. Okay, so we saw that it is vital for Christians to build our lives upon Christ by having and maintaining revelation knowledge. So it's not a one-time thing. It's something that we have to keep receiving. Pastor often teaches and tells us revelation is continuous and progressive. Okay? So what is revelation? It is light from the word of God that God shines into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that light illuminates our minds so we can see, as it were, by the Spirit, what the Bible calls the Spirit of Scripture. There is the letter of Scripture, but the letter of Scripture is closed. It needs to be opened, you know, by light. And that light comes from the Holy Spirit and uses his anointed servants, you know, to do that, to open up the sense and the understanding behind the word. You know, and when that happens, that is what we call revelation. So it's light shining into our hearts, showing us God's own thoughts, you know, and this is what causes us to grow. Without revelation, you will not grow. You need to grow. You know, and the Bible says, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So that is somebody who is growing. And if you don't have it, then the gates of hell, the converse is true, the gates of hell prevail, and then we're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, which is what happened to the Galatians. So that's not our portion in Jesus' name. All right, so we see that that's what God is teaching us. So with revelation, you can see far ahead into the purpose of God. Amen. And that's important, because when you see the purpose of God, then you know where you're going. You understand why you need to be where you're supposed to be. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Right. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation is seeing what God is saying. Wisdom is not the same. Wisdom is telling you how to get what revelation just showed you. Amen. They come together. Spirit of the sons of Issachar. In the knowledge of him. Next verse. The eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened. Let's say that word again. Enlightened. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Next verse. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Amen. The degree to which you have revelation is the degree to which God can bring to pass what he has promised concerning you and I in the word. That's what he's saying. Know who we are, know what we have, and know they have access to the power to enable us walk in the reality of those things. So that is what we see here. And let's look at the next verse. Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Amen. So we see revelation knowledge comes from the resurrection power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. And revelation now puts on us responsibility to do what we have been shown. When you now see it, it's now important for you to do something about what God is showing you. Because revelation is supposed to be a means to an end. The end is transformation. The end is obedience to produce a change in our lives. Amen. And we are so privileged in this house. We sit under revelation, you know, every single day. We get daily Rhema. We get Bible reading. We get 3 sermons a week. Amen. With light and revelation from the Holy Spirit. And the question is, what are we doing with it? We need to be acting on those things so that we are being changed from glory unto glory. That's the will of God for us. Okay. Now, when you remain in natural thinking, the Bible calls that a carnal mind. That's what it means by a carnal mind. It's just purely thinking naturally. And the carnal mind is enmity against God. It will think that it is serving God, but it is not serving God. It's a deception. And only the truth of the revelation of God's word can bring it out. That carnal mind opens us up to false teaching. As we see, you know, in Galatia, you know, they were because once they didn't have revelation, they were now susceptible to all sorts of things, you know, and the devil was beginning to say also, look at Ephesians 4:14 very quickly. And they were dominated by the fear of death. Ephesians 4, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So we see that revelation is critical for us as Christians. We need it to grow. We need it to stay on the path of truth. We need it to bring forth fruit. We need it to fulfill our destiny. Amen. And that's the will of God. And we're going to do that in Jesus' name. All right? Okay. And we also see that You know, as just giving an example, we see God commend Joshua and Caleb, saying that they had, of all the adults that left Egypt, all the Israelites that left Egypt, all the adults that were above 20, only Joshua and Caleb and Moses had another spirit. And it was that spirit that took them into the promised land. Everybody else perished in the wilderness. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. We're going to fulfill the number of our days and fulfill our destiny. Amen. But the key here is the importance of revelation. It set them apart. So that even though they were 80, Caleb was 85 when he entered, you see how the strength, that's what revelation does. It gives you strength, boldness, courage to take what God gave you and to enforce the will of God even when circumstances are working against it. That's why it's critical. You know, it's something, and you know, it's important to make sure we protect and guard that jealously. We also see another example in Daniel, who understood by revelation. Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says that I understood by the books, verses 2 and 3. I understood by the books the number of years. That's revelation. He was talking about the word of God, but God shined light and showed him that the 70 years was about to be accomplished, and there was nothing on the outside to even indicate that there was going to be a release. So Daniel now sought God. That's the responsibility part. Sought God in intercession and began to pray. And Bible, the whole of Daniel chapter 9 is dedicated to that. It wasn't just one time. It was a pattern that Daniel had together with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when they prayed it into manifestation such that Cyrus the king now made a proclamation, a heathen king, that they could go back and go and build God's temple in their own homeland. Let's give God a super hand. Amen. That's God moving in the affairs of men. No, by the Spirit of God working through revelation. Okay, and we thank God for revelation concerning our nation, Nigeria. Amen. Nigeria is changing. Amen. It's not business as usual anymore. And it will keep changing and getting better. How is it? It's by revelation. Now we understand that God is removing strange children from our land. He's taking them from their place and setting others in their stead. Amen. That's what he's doing. And now our sons are arising as plants grown up in their youth. So it's in stages, and we keep praying until we see the full manifestation of it. We're not going to stop in the middle. We're going to give birth to the full manifestation. And I don't know what's going on in your personal life. It could be a work in progress. Stay with it. What God said will come to pass. Bible says, I sought for a man. You be that man. In your own life, stand in the stead for your family. Stand in the stead for your wife and children. Wives, stand for your husband and your children. Amen. And let's see God's will done. And when you enforce it in your life, they enforce it in the nation and the nations of the world, then we can then go home. Amen. We're not going home before then. All right, we have to do God's will. So how do you get revelation? We said it, and we're going to emphasize it again. You have to be practicing humility. Humility. Increasing humility, penitence, and repentance. Keep the searchlight of the word of God on your heart. Check your attitude. Check your thoughts, your motives. That's humility. And align them. Don't condemn yourself. Just align it with what the word of God says. And it is that brings the grace of God. Because the Bible says God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. And that grace is what gives us life. Like Pastor taught us. And that life gives us light. And that light gives us wisdom. Amen. So that's how we get revelation. You know, it's humility. Of course, we also need to pray in the spirit at least 1 hour every day. We also need to read our Bibles daily. And then, of course, praying the Pauline prayers, particularly Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. And then God takes us into all the other Pauline prayers. And then it becomes a continuous and progressive thing. It's a steady flow. So everywhere in your life begins to work by revelation. Your children is by revelation. You know, you want to travel, it's by revelation. You want to get a new job, it's by revelation. You don't do anything just because people say that's the way it's done. And this is where it's important to submit also to authority and those in authority over us, so that they see further and clearer than we see. Amen. So they can tell, they can guide you. You know, they can tell you, I don't think that's God. And I don't think that scripture is correct. No, we should not trust in our own heart. Bible says, he that trusts in his heart is a fool. All right. So we also see revelation working on a personal level. And Apostle Paul uses himself as an example here. He was a Pharisee, taught by the very best at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was the height in those days because they used to teach the law, you know, and they were experts when it came to the law. But in all of his understanding of the law, he did not know God until he met God on the way to Damascus. And then God knocked him off his high horse of pride. And then the Bible says a light shone. So there was a light that was greater than light that he had. And then that light shone, and then he could not see again for 3 days. Signifying a switch from carnal thinking to revelation thinking. That light was symbolic. It was a symbolic show that, look, you are walking against me. Bible says, who are you? Let's look at it. Acts chapter 9, verse 6. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus and suddenly, all the people that are persecuting them, suddenly, God is going to shine. Suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. Next verse, verse 3. Thank you. And he fell to the ground, heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? This is somebody who felt that he was an expert. This is what he did for a living. He was a lawyer. A lawyer in the law. He understood the tenets and all the symbolisms, the washings. He knew it back to back, off head. He was a Pharisee. Taught by the very best. So when he came in contact with God, God talks to people. Excuse me. Yes. Look at the next verse. And he said, who art thou, O Lord? And said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the priest. That is, you're going against where I'm taking you to. Next verse. And he, trembling and astonished, he was amazed. You are God? And you are talking to me? The one that split the Red Sea? The one that took the children out with a high and a mighty hand? The same God? You are talking to me? What do you have me do? Immediately he fell on his face. And that's what the divine encounter does. And that was how he became born again. Notice there's no sinner's prayer there. So don't, when you're judging that some people are going to heaven, some people are going to heaven, you don't know God. There's no sinner's prayer there. Nothing said there, but there was a transformation. It was a divine encounter. Amen. And Lord said unto him, arise! And go and sit, and shall be told thee what thou must do. Okay? And we know the story that Ananias eventually... So he was blind for 3 days. They were leading him. You know, and they brought him into Damascus, which was really where his ministry began, so to speak, encounter with the Lord. And then, you know, Ananias came to him and gave him his sight and then prayed for him to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know? And that was... So Saul went from thinking he was on the right way to knowing he was on the right way. You are on the right way when you are under teaching priests. Teaching priests. 2 Chronicles 15 verse 3. That teach you the word. They open up the law and show you what the law of God is. It's not ceremonial moral observances. There is a law. The law of life and love. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is a law. And if you are not operating it, you are not walking with God. That's why I said that John said, well, without the true God. So you have a figment of your imagination of how God is, but that's not how God is. Because you are operating without God's light. And that's where humility comes in. Amen. And we see there that God appeared to him for two reasons. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 9 to 11. It's very quickly. Who saved us? Let's read it together. Who saved us and called us with an holy calling? Everybody is called. Amen. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was in Christ Jesus before the world began. Next verse. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Next verse. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Amen. The first thing to see here is that grace is given for a purpose. Bible says God called us according to his purpose and grace. It's important to have our purpose. What is our purpose? We are called to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 20. That's our purpose. Because if you don't know the purpose, you will use the grace of God for what is not meant to. And ultimately, you will receive the grace of God in vain, which is not the will of God. So it's important to know your purpose. Your purpose is not to save souls. That's an offshoot of your purpose. It's a byproduct of the purpose. The real end of the purpose is for us to be conformed. Romans 8:29, very quickly. Romans 8:29. It's the Bible study, so it's fundamental things that we have to sort of drive in deep again. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the son, the firstborn among many brethren. So we are Jesus' brethren. And we are supposed to be conformed to his image. And the way he did it is the way we are going to do it. By being taught and led by the Holy Spirit, so that we can also grow in wisdom, we can grow in stature, and we can grow in favor with God and favor with men. He also tells us, the scripture tells us that Jesus Christ brought life and immortality to light. Before, what was reigning was death. Remember, when God made Adam, death was not in the equation at all. Adam was not meant to die. He was created immortal. He was created immortal. So the first Adam gave away our immortality, and the second Adam, glory be to God, came and took it back and gave it back to us. So life and immortality are available to you and I in this dispensation. That is the work of every preacher, to bring out these truths so that we live not as mere men but as gods and God-men. That doesn't mean we won't die, but it does mean that we dominate sin and death and the consequences and the effects of the same, so that we can then determine when, how, and in what manner that we are going to go, so that the last enemy, death, is subdued and overcome. That's the will of God. And Paul understood it. And that's the purpose. And brethren, it takes time to grow. But that's what growth is about. We see that, you know, he separated himself for over 14 years, working out the message. When God spoke to him, he had to stay. That was the responsibility part. He had to stay and work the message into himself. No, and then he came out. And oh boy, you can see, you know, Bible says that, but you can see he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Amen. Bible says that he declared the whole counsel of God. He did, but God did special miracles by the hand of Saul. Amen. And by the hand of Paul, I beg your pardon. So that he, you know, he set in order, you know, things as the pattern disciple that we must follow after. Amen. So there's no other way, really. You have to follow Paul's example, and you know, and that's the example. And the Bible says in the book of Galatians, in the last verse of chapter one, and they glorified God in me, because when they saw God at work in Paul's life, they saw the fruit, you know, they saw the change in his character, his personality. They saw the deep wisdom that could only come from God. At a point in time, he preached in one place and God moved. They wanted to make him a God. They were going to sacrifice to him. When people saw, the Bible says, they glorified God in me. And brethren, that's what the world must glorify God in us. Amen. That's why we're Christians. To grow up and grow up until we demonstrate the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. All right. And that is where we're going. Amen. And God's going to take us there. Ministry is not about titles. It's not about physical wealth. It's about growing up in godliness so that we can be vessels of honor for special uses, which is what God used Apostle Paul for. Amen. And God's going to use us too for in Jesus' name. The people that were bringing in the false doctrine here, they were vessels of dishonor. Vessels of dishonor because they did not submit themselves to the righteousness of God that God gave. And so they were going about to establish their own, and they were teaching the people wrongly and bringing a curse. Teaching the people to eat the accursed thing, which is in the Old Testament a type of eating what God has cursed, and God has said we should not eat. Wrong teaching, false doctrine. That's not the will of God for us. So it's important for us as saints to make sure that we're eating and feeding upon the right source. Amen. All right, so we're going to go straight into Galatians chapter 2. Let's begin. Let's read it together. Galatians chapter 2. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Next verse. And I went up by revelation. You see that it's a consistent thing in his life. And communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Next verse. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. All right? Next verse. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Amen. All right, let's go back to verse 1. We'll see how the Lord takes us. It says, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with him also. So we see here that term, go up again. The first time he had gone to Jerusalem, you know, he spent 3 years in Damascus. Then he went to Jerusalem to see Peter for 2 weeks. Then he went back again to Arabia and Damascus and stayed there for 14 years and then came back again, this time with Barnabas. Actually, Barnabas came to fetch him. You know, he sought him and they had stayed in Antioch and now they were coming again. So they had done some work, you know, and it was clear that the hand of God was bad. But the term here is go up. What does it mean to go up? When you are going up, you are moving up spiritually. You are moving up to a higher level of thinking. When I was a child, I thought as a child. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 13, I beg your pardon. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 13. Next verse. No. Where it says, when I was a child. Yes, verse 11. Thank you. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Our speaking, our understanding, and our thinking needs to go up. You start thinking. Your thinking is now no longer as a child, self-centered. You are now thinking about what God feels, what God wants. Your focus and emphasis changes from being self-centered or man-centered to being Christ-centered, to being purpose-centered. Amen? Amen? And that was, so he went up, and that means you become more like Jesus, because that's what Jesus was. He was going about the Father's business. So we see that mental, your motive for what you're doing, your method for what you're doing, the means by which you're doing what you're doing is very important to God. You put away childish things and become more mature. Unless, oh God, you didn't give me this or you didn't give me that, I'm not going to pray again, you know, and all that. But to understand that if you seek first the kingdom, all the other things shall be added. So it's not me first, it's God first. That's maturity. And so when the apostle talks about going up to Jerusalem, he's talking about moving up spiritually. He had grown over 14 years. And we see this typology looking at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and the life of Joseph. We see that Joseph was, he had a dream at 17, and the dream was fulfilled at 39. And in between that, at least somewhere there, even between that, you have 21, 22 years. So we see that it takes like 21 years to grow into maturity. And here, he had spent 3 years initially, you know, in Damascus, they came, then spent another 14 years. So we're talking about 17 years. So really, and those 21 years, you can break them into 3 sevens. The first 7 is growing from baby to little child. You know, that's your first 7 years, then little child to young man. The next 7 years, then young man to spiritual father. So definitely by this time, when he says, I'm going up, after 14 years, we're talking about being a young man spiritually. Bible says, no, I've spoken to young men because you are strong and you have overcome the wicked one. So he was versed in prayer. You're using the scripture to interpret itself. So he was versed in prayer. He was somebody who was able to pray and his voice was known in the spirit. He was getting deep revelation from the word of God. That's how you know maturity. You know, those are the indices of growth. You know, the Bible says that rightly dividing the word of truth, showing ourselves approved unto God, a workman. Amen. So we see here that this going up, you know, with Barnabas and Titus was by revelation. It was God that told him to go up because he had grown to a certain level and was ready for the next thing God had. Everything is limited by our growth. If you don't grow to the level that God wants you to get to, you don't get a release to do that next thing. And that's why growth should be our focus and our emphasis. Amen? Right? It's important for us. So we're growing spiritually. And we're growing in 2 ways. We're growing in capacity. No, that is the strength of our spirit. So when you pray in the spirit, how many people can your prayer provide, how much power comes out of your spirit to provide covering for a certain number of people? We have captains over tens, captains over 50s, captains over hundreds, and captains over thousands. Is a measure of how much you've grown. And then, of course, there is growth in discernment. To what degree is your thinking in line with the word of God? So you have growth in those 2 aspects. And then there's the 3rd one, growth in purity. And this is important because we saw that in chapter 1, you know, because, you know, a person can be in ministry and he can be preaching and what he's saying is correct, but the spirit behind what he's saying is wrong. And it's very important to understand that, you know, so he may be saying it, but there is a covetous spirit. So you know what? He's contaminating God's people with that covetous spirit. He's looking more for his own gain than for their own growth. Apostle Paul said, I seek yours, not mine. I'm seeking yours. I'm not seeking my own. You know, so ministry is not about yourself. Is about God and his purpose for his people. And that's the purity part. You know, so it's very important that we be discerning. And once you listen, like Pastor says, this is the person for some time, you can tell, you know, where is he coming from? Where is he going? What's the emphasis? You know, who is being glorified? Self or God? What does it come to? Money or instructions? That's the key. Very important for us to see that. Okay, so we see him saying that, we went up, okay, to Jerusalem. He had gone before to see Peter alone, But this time, he was going with Barnabas and Titus, and it was for a particular reason. Okay? Right. Verse 2. Galatians 2:2, thank you. Yes. So he says that I communicated on that gospel. So we wanted to talk to those who have reputation. Reputation just means people that were in leadership, people that were accepted and acknowledged as leaders of that time. And this is very important because he wanted to make sure that what he was doing was he wanted to submit it. Bible says, iron sharpens iron. Proverbs 27:17. That's why Jesus also went to Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem to talk to the Pharisees. You know, Luke chapter 2, verse 45. Let's look at it. Luke 2:45. So iron sharpens iron. It's important, you know, to make sure that you you submit what God has shown you to other men of God so that it can be checked in line with the word of God. So that you're not going on your own. Because the Bible says, he that trusts in his heart is a fool. And we are operating as a body. We're not operating our own little kingdom. We are all together as one body. So it's a body mentality one. And he understood that. And it's also the fact that, let me submit it. So that they too can check it out. To see whether it is of God. Because it is of God. The Spirit of God is one. So you should be able to take what you are teaching and submit it to others. So that know in the mouths of counselors, there is safety. Amen. Alright, so we see him. They were looking for Jesus, seeking him. Next verse. Thank you. And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. That's the pattern, son. Next verse. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. But he was still asking questions. But he knew a lot. But he didn't know everything. And it wasn't so much as knowing everything, but so much as making sure that his heart was in the right place. Because this thing, ministry, is about your heart and my heart. It's about how much work God has done upon the heart. And it is the heart that God is looking at. Every other thing you need, the wisdom, the power, whatever, God will supply. It's the heart that is the rate limiting factor. So it's very important to exercise ourselves in humility, in submission, so that we are sure that, okay, right, I'm doing it the way the pattern son did it, and the way the pattern disciple did it, okay? So that was why he went there. You know, and to submit to them. All right, so brethren, there's no Lone Ranger. When we were young, there used to be a show on the TV, Lone Ranger. You know, it was, nobody could kill him. you ride alone, and he will just appear. He will mete out justice to everybody that is doing the wrong thing. You know, and all that. That Lone Ranger is not riding again. He's not riding in the Church of Jesus Christ. He's a body. And we must have a body mentality. Amen. Alright, so we see that's what goes. Let's look at verse 2. Okay. So he didn't want to run in vain. But Peradventure, there is something I am doing, or there's something I could do, something that is off. Peradventure, I think I'm okay, but let me just submit it just in case. Bible says, he that trusted in his heart is a fool. But Bible says that, how does it say it? It says, the wise shall be delivered by counsel. It says somehow in the book of Proverbs, if you can find it for me, you know. But if you listen to counsel, you're not likely to fall into a trap. You know, so it's important to listen to counsel and submit to others. Next verse, verse 3. Verse 3, thank you. Next verse. Okay, it's frozen. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So when he came initially, because what was the doctrine? Let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse 16. So you can understand his message. This is Paul's message in essence. Let's read it together. Therefore, It is of faith that it might be by grace, not by works. That it might be by grace. It is of faith that it might be by grace. Let to the end, the promise might be sure to what? All the seed, both Jew and Gentile. Amen. Not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all. So he's saying that, look, it's not doing those observances again. It is by believing on God as our Savior. It's now by faith. We believe Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and our Savior. And we get the grace of God through that faith. Bible says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And we stand in the grace. So we are standing in that grace. So it is that grace now that is keeping you standing. Keeping me standing spiritually. It's not so much what you are doing. It is the grace you use to do what you are doing. But you are standing in the grace. The grace is by faith, trust. But it now comes to give you the ability to work, to labor. But it's not the labor that justifies you. It is the grace that justifies you by faith. So it was a different message. Their own message was that it was the law, the ceremonial observances that justified you. The two were against each other and they were confusing God's people. Was why he came and said, no, this is it. And so if he came with Titus, who was an uncircumcised Gentile, under the old dispensation, he was supposed to be circumcised. But under this new dispensation, there is no need for circumcision. It is a circumcision of the heart, not of the external body. Amen. So that was his point. Okay, next verse. Verse 4. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That is Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in privately. That is, they didn't come in openly, just came in behind the door, behind the back door, to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ, that it might bring us again into bondage. So even Paul knew that they were in bondage. Of course, he was. He is the chief example of the bondage. You know, thinking that you are doing the right thing and going against the pricks. If not for God that had mercy on me. So, and the same law, we're not able to keep it anyway. We will be breaking it here, breaking it there, and then we'll be winking and having our own sense of righteousness. But God is not like that. So he was saying that, look, let's operate this faith thing the way it's supposed to be operated. But you know, sometimes old habits die hard. So an old mentality. So there were brethren that still, they knew that that was what was supposed to be, but they just felt more comfortable. And brethren, this is very important. Sometimes some things, you know, are comfortable for you and I. You are used to it. You've done it for so long. So it's like that. You have to change it. Amen. That's why we have been given grace. To Bible says so that we let's look at Romans chapter 12. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, this is God begging us, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, holy, that is clean, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Next verse. And be not conformed to the world. How we conform to the world? In our thinking, in our talking, in our acting. That's how we are conformed to the world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where it's at. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. So he's talking about if you, as you allow the word of God to wash, as we allow it to wash our thinking, wash away old habits, wash away infirmities, wash away by the washing of water by the word. So after a while, we become, like the Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, we become sober, righteous, and godly in this present world, in our thinking. Because that's where it begins. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if God can change your thinking, it changes the whole being. And that's why Paul was saying that No, we're not going to accept it. We're going to keep contending for the faith that God has given, and let everybody know that this is the right way, and not by external observances. You know, not judging people and thinking that I'm better than them. That was the attitude. That was the attitude, because you are doing it by knowledge, and knowledge puffeth up. That was why the Pharisee felt that he was better than the publican, because he was doing certain things the publican was not doing. And we ourselves have to make sure that, yes, even though you pray, yeah, even though you read your Bible, even though you do all those things don't justify you and I. Amen. I didn't hear your amen, no. Amen. We are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are justified by what he did. And we keep going back to it. That is where we are standing on. That is the solid rock. Every other ground is sinking sand. Every other thing is a prop. If you are not careful, Satan will let you feel you are standing and then kick the prop. And then we come crashing down. You wonder, how did I fall down? Because you are leaning on a prop. Stand on the word. I don't have any righteousness in myself. My righteousness is of God. Amen. And everything I do, I give God back the glory, because he is at work in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. And as he has done in me, he can do in other people. So there's no reason to be proud. There's no reason to boast. In fact, I want them to have it, one another, and I will celebrate them and encourage them to have it. So I stop thinking about myself and how good I am, and start thinking about how to put everybody together to where we are supposed to be together. Amen. It's a total change of mentality. But it depends on how much the word of God is penetrating. It has to penetrate and wash it and clean it and wash it down until you get to the point where, you now begin to think the way God is thinking. Amen? That's the will of God. Let's look at verse 5. Thank you, Lord. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. Trust Paul. Like Pastor would say, the only pastor that can say is Baba Paul. That one is too much for me to say. Amen? The apostle, the great apostle. You know, he said no. So Paul would contend. He would argue. He would explain. He would give example. And he would show from the scripture that it's not like that. It's not like that. It is by grace. It is free for all. Freely have we received. Freely are we going to give. We must not put them under anything that they cannot bear. Next verse. So we remember that the truth of the gospel might continue with you is so important. It is truth that sets free. If anybody takes away the truth from you and I, then we remain where we are. We remain where we are. We need to be walking in truth. We need to have truth. And that starts from you and I. We need to desire truth in the inward parts. You need to want to know the truth rather than be right. I'll say it again. You and I need to want to know the truth rather than be right. That's what Paul was doing. I don't want to be right. I want to find out whether what I'm thinking is the correct thing. So I'm open to the truth. Are you open to the truth? In that discussion in your office, are you looking for the truth? When you are at home, your children are talking to you. Is that the truth? The other day, I had planned something perfectly. The way a human being can plan it. I sat down, prayed about it. Not 1 hour, prayed very well. Then I did physical checks, because you must not move by spiritual alone. So I did physical checks to check it and everything. And then at the last minute, when I was going to implement the plan, something happened that just suspended the whole plan. And I was looking in amazement. I could not believe it. That this, my plan, that I had hatched in God, in my mind. It was in God, in my mind. I had done everything I was supposed to do in God. I purchased in my mind in God. And I had done all the physical checks and everything. Prayed about it. Did everything. And all that. And here it was. It was not working. And my wife looked at me and said, she wasn't even sympathetic at all. She just told me, but obviously, this cannot be the plan. I submitted to it when you said it was, God told you. I left it. But now, this is the proof that this is not the plan. And I was looking at her as if she came from another planet. How sometimes God does some things just to let you know that it's in the multitude of counselors that there is safety. And sometimes it's a favor. It's doing you a favor. You'll be thinking that thing you do, if you do it, and the thing will break up halfway. That halfway is worse than now. So this one now, where I've not committed anything to it, or what I've committed is still retrievable, or is small compared, because the more you go into it, the more you are committing and investing in it. And I looked at her, and I just thought to myself, what is the truth? And I said, fine. And I had to go to a totally different plan, which I had not thought of before, which incidentally worked very well. You know what, brother? We give God the glory. But what I'm trying to tell you is this, brethren. You are not God. Pastor says this as a joke, but it's very true. You are not God. I am not God. We can have ideas in our minds and it looks like God, but it's not God. And when God wants to do you a favor, he will allow it not to work. And when it doesn't work, you are not supposed to force it. You are supposed to ask again, am I sure this is God? So that God can help you before you get in too deep. Bible says that we should trust in the Lord with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding. But many times we do that leaning thing and trusting again. Leaning and then we trust again. You know what I mean? So sometimes you've leaned on it and then when God just wants to test where your confidence is. It may even be that what you plan is correct. What you can even work that way. There are many ways to skin a cat. God can do it in multiple ways, but he will not do it that way you thought and do it another way somebody else said, just to check whether you want the truth. Do you desire truth in the inward parts? In your relationship with God, do you desire truth in the inward parts? Or you want to be right? Because if with God, God cannot get across to you with truth, how can a human being get across to you? David said, I desire truth. Psalm 51. I think it's verse 6 or so. I desire truth in you. And in the hidden parts, you will make me to know wisdom. It's important to seek truth. Not want it to be right. Not my own way. We want God's way. And that's the truth. And to be able to find truth, you must put truth in your heart. You must read your Bible and fill your heart with truth. You must study truth. Truth must be in every crevice in there. So that when you are looking for truth, it's by a wellspring of wisdom which just comes up. That's the will of God for us. Amen? As we begin to close and round up. So, yes, desire truth in the inward parts. So, what is God saying? The Apostle Paul set for us an example here. You know that we should seek truth. And we also saw that, you know, this mentality that we're talking about, that we belong to a body. Jesus and his disciples. Now, it was Jesus that did all those miracles and disciples operated the borrowed anointing, but he had to choose them first. He had to create a body around himself. He was the head, they were the body. Moses and 70 elders, head and body. And it's a very important reason. Let's look at it. Ephesians 4:16 as we close. Ephesians 4:16. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's a very important thing that we see here. No, God is telling us how the body operates through Apostle Paul. And he's showing us that the body is made up of parts. Parts of the body, just like you have a hand, you have a toe, you have a chest, you have an ear, you have an eye. So the body has parts. But the parts are joined together. What he calls joint. And that's the relationship between two saints. That's the joint. So he's telling us that the only way you and I are going to grow is not in isolation. That's why Paul went to them to make sure that he submitted, because he understood that we are a body. I must be getting nourishment from all the parts of the body. My nourishment is not from God alone. I get nourishment from God, but that's only one quarter of my nourishment. I'm getting nourishment from those in authority over me. And if I'm in authority, I'm getting nourishment from my peers. Then I'm getting nourishment from those that are beneath me. Amen. You need nourishment from every part for you to be able to grow balanced. And your growth determines your protection. No, as soon as Paul was born again, they tried to kill him. Not once, not twice. It was brethren. That we don't know, that didn't have revelation like he had, that put him in a basket and let him down on the wall. Not once, not twice. Amen. It was Paul that they stoned and left him for dead. It was who again? I don't know. Who was it again? Did they mention anybody's name? But when they prayed, life came out and raised him up. You need brethren. In your family, you need brethren. In the church, you need brethren. In the office, you need brethren. You are not the man on the top. Mm-mm. What you are operating there is coming from other brethren. So you must be humbling yourself and be telling yourself that if there's any success, who do we give the glory? God. From whom? Oh, the whole body is fully joined together. It's coming from him. So that nourishment that's coming from him is what is going to keep you, is what is making you do what you're doing. Is that nourishment that is bringing protection. And you can see in Apostle Paul that, you know, all the that have been shipwrecked, the perils of brethren, perils of countrymen, he wound up in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where he says, I have finished my course. I have fought the good fight. There is therefore laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Why? Because he understood body. Brethren, you need to understand it. We operate in a body. And so, sometimes just asking people, I want to go out. And they say, no, there's traffic in that place. Thank God I told you. Whereas if you sneaked out, you snuck out, I don't want anybody to see me. Let me just... You'll be sweating in the traffic. The AC will not work. So that God can get across to you that you know you should be. That's not even truth. You should desire truth. You should come and be able to tell people that I want to go out. Why are you hiding? That's hidden things of dishonesty. We need to renounce those things. Until all of us are there, oh brethren. You are there before, but you remove yourself from it. Those dishonesty, you renounce as we renounce them. Then we come out of them, and then truth can fill the place where we renounce dishonesty from, and we can be children of truth. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Let's talk to God. To get to where we're going, thank God for our fathers. But you need more than their prayers. You need your own prayers. You need the brethren. That humility will attract the grace of God, give you revelation so you can keep seeing what God is seeing. So you can stay in line with the purpose of God. And revelation should go into every part of your life. Revelation gives you a clear hope of where you're going. Let's repent, talk to God, and be encouraged. God is purifying. and taking away the childish things so we can have the mature things of Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Next verse.
When darkness fills His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
His oath, His covenant, His blood.
His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand.
Let's raise up our right hand to God, a sign that we need help. Put our left hand on our heart. His oath, His covenant supports us. When all around us gives way, He will be there for you and I. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word that has come to me this morning, reminding me that I need to walk with You by faith in Your blood of Your Son, in Your life, and in the light that comes from that life, so that I can build my house upon the rock, and the gates of hell, when the storms of life come against me, will not prevail. So Heavenly Father, I ask for mercy. Help me to keep walking in humility, receiving truth, walking in truth, embracing truth, having no part dark, so that I will walk in the light as You are in the light, and I will be a child of light. And You will build me up, and You'll be glorified in me. What I think, what I say, what I do, everywhere I go, that my light will shine, so that my Father in heaven will be glorified by the light that is shining through my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bring the Spirit. Belalenta, Rosse, Banger, Towabian, Ropapole, Ronge de Beberica, Robacato, Sengedi, Rolle Bebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebeb Jesus' name, amen. If you are believing God for healing, I want you to just touch that place. As much as decency allows, the Bible says that, you know, he sent his word and he healed them. and he delivered them. The word of God has gone forth. The power of God is in the air to heal. If you're watching online, just stretch your hand towards the screen of your device as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you've gone ahead with the light of your word. And your power is present to heal. And so, Father, we send the word of healing right into the soul and the body of these ones that are trusting you at this time. We say, be thou made whole in the name of Jesus. We break the power of every spirit that may be enforced in sickness. I bind you. I destroy your works. I break your hold. I cast you out. And we say you are healed and made whole in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.